Current flying saucer reports will be nothing compared to a spectacular future object which millions will see in the sky. In a moment, you'll hear the amazing facts about a UFO that will be identified too late. Hello, this is Joe Cruz in the Amazing Facts broadcast, facts which affect you. In our last broadcast, we studied the fascinating events that will lead up to the great millennial age of Bible prophecy. By way of review, let's notice that this period of 1,000 years begins with the resurrection of all the righteous. Revelation 20, verse 6, "Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. They shall reign with Christ 1,000 years. But then verse 5 reveals the truth about the resurrection of the wicked. It says, "But the rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." Well, now that's clear, friends. The millennium is a 1,000-year period which begins with the resurrection of the righteous and closes with the resurrection of the wicked. But now, when do the righteous come forth to begin this long period of rule with Christ? 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first." So at that time, when Christ comes, the wicked are slain, and the earth is devastated by a tremendous earthquake. The righteous are taken to heaven to spend that millennium there, and the wicked are left dead on the earth. And Isaiah says the earth will be in darkness and a state of utter destruction during that millennial period. Now, many people honestly think that the unsaved will have an opportunity to accept salvation during this period. But you can readily see that it will be impossible for anybody to accept the gospel at that time. Why? Because the eternal line of demarcation that divides the saved from the lost will have been drawn before Christ appears, before the 1,000 years even begins. It'll be impossible for anybody to believe the gospel, just as impossible as it would be for a corpse to rise up in his own casket and be converted at the funeral service. How do I know this? Look at Revelation 20, verse 5 again. "The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." Now, friends, in the modern speech translation, that says no one else who was dead was raised to life until the 1,000 years were at an end. So instead of any of the unsaved being alive and hearing the gospel during that period, they're all dead. They'll not have any chance whatsoever to be saved during that millennium. But now let's consider where the great adversary Satan will spend this long period of the millennium. And we read about it in Revelation 20, 1-3. "And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold on the dragon," that old serpent which is a devil and Satan, "and bound him 1,000 years and cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that he must be loosed a little season." Yes, the devil will be bound or confined during this period in a place called the bottomless pit. Now, where is that bottomless pit, friends? We're not left in the dark. God clearly defines it and describes it for us. And he tells us it's a dwelling place of Satan for the millennium. The word bottomless pit comes from the Greek word abusos, which is translated abyss in our own English language. In fact, the word is actually transliterated from the Greek language. But now listen, that very same word abusos, or bottomless pit, is used again in Genesis 1, verse 2. In the Septuagint version, it actually describes this earth and its chaotic state before it was molded by the Word of God. And listen to the words, "The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep." Now that word deep is the very same word abusos, which means literally the bottomless pit. And it's the same word that's used in Revelation 20, verse 3, to describe the place where Satan will be bound. In other words, friends, this earth, in its broken-down state and its disorganized condition, is actually called the bottomless pit in the Bible. And that's exactly what it will be, of course, during the 1,000 years. And Satan will be bound here by a chain of circumstances right to this planet. He'll have nothing to do, of course. There'll be no human beings alive here for him to tempt during that period. They've all been removed from his influence. And that's what binds him during the period, so that he can deceive no one until that 1,000 years is over. We read in 2 Peter 2:4 that wicked angels are reserved in chains of darkness for judgment. So during the millennium, Satan will be bound by a chain of circumstances, a chain of darkness, you might call it, which will prevent him from tempting a single individual during that time. He'll be able to look on the ruin that his program has brought. And no doubt that'll be the most terrible punishment for the devil, to be confined with his own evil angels and for such a long period, having to live with himself and thinking upon the ruin and misery that his rebellion has caused. Now let's think of the events at the close of the millennium. Notice carefully certain events that will mark the end of the 1,000-year period. In Revelation 20, verse 7, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison." Now let me ask you a question. What will release the devil from his confinement here on this earth? What will free him now to go forth and do his work of deception once more? Why, nothing else but the resurrection of those wicked dead would permit him to take up his deceptions again. In Revelation 20, verse 5, it said, "The rest of the dead live not again until the 1,000 years were finished." And so they do come up at this time, and Satan is also released by that event. Now he has somebody to work on, and he goes forth feverishly to mobilize these countless wicked ones in his warfare against God. Verse 8 tells us that he shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. Oh, what a scene that will present, friends! All the wicked men of all ages are recruited by the evil genius of Satan for that final great battle and the controversy with God. They'll be like the sand of the sea for number, we're told, and all the sinners who've ever lived will be in that number, those who have lived from the very beginning of time, and all will be gathered at one time and place under the leadership of Satan himself. And where is that battle to be fought, friends, and against whom will it be fought? Revelation 20, verse 9 says, "And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about and the beloved city." Oh, listen, something else has happened at the end of that 1,000 years. The holy city of God has come down to this earth. In fact, it's described for us in Revelation 21, 2, "And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband." So, the object of Satan's wrath will be that beautiful city in which the saints have been living for 1,000 years in heaven. But now that New Jerusalem comes right down to this earth. All the righteous people are inside. You talk about flying saucers and UFOs, friends. This will be the most spectacular sight that human eyes have ever seen. A gigantic city floating in space. In Zechariah 14, 4 and 5, we have a description of that tremendous event. "And his feet shall stand in that day upon the Mount of Olives, which is before Jerusalem on the east. And the Mount of Olives shall cleave in the midst thereof toward the east and toward the west, and there shall be a very great valley. And half of the mountain shall remove toward the north, and half of it toward the south, and the Lord my God shall come and all the saints with thee." Now notice that the saints are coming with Jesus on this occasion. Now, really, this is the third coming of Christ, you might say. He came first as a babe in Bethlehem. He came the second time in power and glory to catch his people up to meet him in the clouds. And now he returns with the holy city. And this time his feet will actually touch the Mount of Olives, and that great mountain will cleave in the midst and make a mighty plain on which the holy city can descend. Now Satan is going up with great anger to lead the host of wicked ones against that city. He convinces them that they'll be able to capture the city and reclaim it for him. Well, what is the result of this last attempt of Satan to overthrow the government of God? Revelation 20, verse 9 says, "And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them." And there is the end of the controversy, friends. The devil will enter the last battle of his war against God, but the evil host will be overwhelmed by a flood of fire that devours them like stubble. And that is where the story ends, but not quite. For the fire that devours the wicked will also purge and purify this earth. The very curse of sin will be burned out of it, leaving an atmosphere that's clean and pure without any trace of evil. 2 Peter 3:12 and 13 describes it, "Looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness." Well, what a picture this closes on, friends. Sin and sinners will be completely, utterly, and irrevocably wiped out of God's universe. There'll be no more rebellion, no more signs of discord or unhappiness. God will create a new earth that will rival the Garden of Eden for beauty and perfection. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." Revelation 21, verse 1. So the saints of God will inherit this recreated earth as a home throughout all eternity. The holy city will be here, of course, as the capital of the earth, and at that time the beatitude of Jesus will be fulfilled. "Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth." The Lord's prayer will be completely answered then also. "Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So right now, the meek, of course, don't inherit the earth at all. The wicked man has most of it in hand. But then it's going to revert to the first dominion. The saints of God and the meek of God will possess this earth. But friends, here's a solemn thought for us to consider today. When the fire comes down, you and I must either be inside the city with God or outside among the host of the lost. No one can avoid that moment and that division. We'll be inside or we'll be outside. There can be no question whatsoever about it. And we must now decide where we shall be on that occasion. Every human being who's ever been born in the world will be gathered the same time and the same place. And the separation, of course, will come with the walls of the New Jerusalem. Some will be inside those walls and some will be outside. What tearful meetings will take place there, friends, because the Bible tells us those walls are as clear as crystal. They're like jasper. And the ones on the outside will be able to look through and see the glory, the transcendent glory of that beautiful paradise. They'll be able to see and understand for the first time just what they lost by their course of sin and rebellion. And no doubt the greatest punishment of all will come in the horrible realization that they're shut out forever from God's kingdom of peace and love. Oh, let's allow nothing to keep us from being ready for that occasion. Let's make sure that every sin has been confessed and forgiven so that we will be ready and prepared for His coming in that day. The beautiful picture ends with God's saints going forth to inhabit this earth in all its restored beauty and perfection. Well, we'll be talking further about this earth and the saints who will live here. They'll have new bodies, of course, resurrected immortal bodies. And in our next broadcast, we'll continue to study and learn some other things about the redeemed and how they'll occupy themselves throughout the ages of eternity as they live here in this beautiful, restored new earth. In the meantime, I know you'll be pleased to receive the little book that covers the entire series of messages on the millennium. It's entitled Satan in Chains. This covers the material that it was presented in our last broadcast and what was presented today, covering that period of the millennium. And now, this is Joe Cruz saying goodbye for today.